It is a privilege to be here this morning. How many of y'all know who we are? Does anybody else? Some of you. I'm John Mortimer. I was born in Ladysmith, and my folks went to Mexico when I was 8. My dad's name was Fred Mortimer. A lot of guys probably know him. And actually, John Fred Mortimer, but everybody called him Fred. And when God called my dad and mom to Mexico when I was 8 years old, I had no choice. Anybody ever been there? All you kids, young people, your parents do things and you really have no choice. But there is a choice. And the choice is you can choose to serve God no matter where you are. And that is each and every one of our choices. And I praise God that I made the choice to serve God. And I began to look at Mexico not as a curse, but as a growing and a stepping stone. And a long story short, we got a boat in Minnesota off of Lake Superior and took it all the way down to the Amazon. And we still have that boat in Iquitos, Peru right now. We don't run the boat anymore. It's well past its lifespan. But we still have it. We use it for storage. And we arrived in Peru in 1988, and that's when we got our residencies. So we've been working in Peru since 1982, and God has just done tremendous things through a lifetime of ministry to the Amazon. I'm a second-generation missionary. Our children are third-generation missionaries. We have two of our kids working with us in Peru. Our one daughter and her husband, Carlos, are in Peru right now. They've been there throughout this whole event. It's been exciting. It's been some very hard times. They declared martial law in Peru and shut everything down. No vehicles, no nothing except for emergency vehicles. They had curfews. You're out after curfews, you get arrested or shot. So you don't go out after curfews. And things were just a little bit different there than here. They were dying at such an alarming rate that they could not keep up. So they would stack them in the back of trucks, take them out to kilometer 17, and they dug mass graves, and they put them in 150 at a time. But because of all that, they feel like they've reached herd immunity, if anybody knows what that means. That means more people have gotten sick than haven't gotten sick, and they figure that it's pretty much slowed down. But we do still covet your prayers, because right now they're having an outbreak of a new strain that come in from Europe. So things are starting to get bad again, just when they were starting to get better. So we still covered your prayers. Our son-in-law, last night I was talking to our daughter and our son-in-law, Carlos. It appears like he has dengue fever. And dengue fever is caused by a mosquito. And it's a horrible fever. And I've had it years ago. I survived it. Our son Vince had it last year in January. And he almost passed from it. But praise God that he's still alive with us. And right now we are looking at going back to Peru sometime this month. The borders are open right now, so we're trying to take advantage of that. Cindy, would you like to say something
before I finish talking?
No, that's okay. God's amazing. I grew up in a little town over here called Sheldon. My parents are here with us right here, Alan and Jarella Thompson. And my uncle and aunt right there too, Art and Sherry, so thank you for being with us. I grew up here, a farm girl, and God plucked me out of there to go to the Amazon. So it doesn't matter where you're brought up or where you live. If you have a heart for God and want to serve him, God can use you. All he needs is a willing heart. So when you stand up and say, Lord, you can use me, and you're serious about it, be careful, because he might call you to do something that you think, oh, how how can that be, Lord? Like Mary, how can that be? And I was like, okay, Lord, when he touched my heart for missions, it was like, Lord, are you sure? I mean, I didn't see it in me, but I know he sees things in us that we don't see. And so I said, Lord, I'm willing. And so like I said, don't ask the Lord, Lord, what do you have for me, if you're not ready to walk it? Because many people hear from God and they spend their whole life walking away from what God would have them. So I want to encourage you guys. Hang on to God, serve him with your whole heart, and let him lead, and you will have an awesome life knowing God is leading. Amen.
And, you know, you consider, I stole her off a dairy farm right over here. And, you know, that's where my dad was. My dad was raised on a farm. And you know, if anybody knew my dad, Fred, when he was younger, everybody said, you know, you'll never amount to much because you can't talk. You know, he'd get in front of people and he'd just be quiet. I mean, anybody there, you just have a hard time talking in front of people. I mean, that was my dad, I guess. I never knew him that way. Why? Because by the time I got old enough, man, he was preaching and just on fire for God. Things had changed. You know, God can change you to prepare you for what he has for you. And what it takes is a willing heart. You know, my wife, because she's raised up here, you know, y'all got really nice four seasons, you know. Right now we're in the cold part of it, but spring is coming. You know, it's not too terribly far away, or we're going to have a lot of mud. And then you're going to have a very short summer. And then you're going to have winter again. But it's seasons. We live through seasons. In the Amazon, we have a hard time conveying seasons because it's green. That is our season, green. We have a little bit more rain, and we have a little bit less rain. But we still have rain. Upper 80s, low 90s, all year round. Rarely does it ever get any cooler. 85, 90% humidity all year round. And God called people from here to go there. Why? Because God is looking for somebody that has a willing heart to say, here I am, Lord, send me. That's what it takes. Now, the question is sometimes we feel like we're not capable of doing. Anybody ever been there where you feel like you're just not qualified, if you want to use the word? You just don't feel like you're capable. But I want to encourage you that no matter what God is calling you to do, he will prepare you for his calling. He'll give you the strength. You know, I mean, in the jungle, we have strange things that we eat and drink and we do to get in with the people. You know, I like to hunt and fish. To me, that's not a sacrifice. When I go into the jungle and a bunch of Indians say, hey, Brother John, you want to go hunting? They don't ask me hardly at all anymore. They ask Vince because he's younger. But when I was younger, it was like, Brother John, come on, we're going in the jungle. You want to go? And of course, you grab a shotgun and away you go. You know, monkeys are delicious. And everything else that you get out there. I mean, it's just, it's fun. And it creates a communion with the people. It creates a camaraderie. And the people get to know you. You get to know them. And, you know, a lot of the different things that they eat and that they drink are way different than what we do in the States. But as you get in with the people, they begin to accept you and they open up their hearts and you begin to see God giving hope where there was no hope. That's what makes it all worth it. Seeing the life of Christ come into a heart that has had little to no chance to ever hear about the gospel. That's what makes it worth it. We do have a couple minute video clip there, about 3-4 minutes. If we could get that put up, and if there's any volume, you can turn the volume down. Turn the volume down, I'll talk through it. This is our whole family. This is our latest picture before my dad passed away. This was last year or 2 years ago in Sheldon. That's right on our back door. That's the Amazon River. The Central Church in the city of Iquitos. Right now, they should be having church there, but I think I heard last night about 9 o'clock that they just give a government decree closing the churches again. I'm preaching in the church of Iquitos. It's a young man that's an intern down there with us, Jacob, and in training to be a future missionary from our home church in Shell Lake, Wisconsin. Here we're praying for Melissa and Carlos. We're sending them out. We're starting a new church with our rehab center. We have the rehab guys there, and that's the new church called True Grace. Verdadera Gracia is called in Spanish. And this is some of the guys from the center. We started a church in the center because a lot of their families wanted to come. So we started having church right there with them, and it's been very good. We do a lot of dramas, skits, sketches, stuff like that, activities in the church and also outside. And it just opens the doors for people to come and see and get the gospel of Christ ministered to them. That was our whole drama team that 1 year. Then we did them out on the street ministry and youth camp, youth ministry. We're getting ready to have a baptism later on that afternoon right there in that pool. Youth ministry. They love playing the games. We also do a lot of children's ministry. And, you know, children's ministry is fun. Anybody involved with children's ministry, you like that? Children's ministry is fun. But when you got that whole suit on, it's like 300 degrees in there. I mean, I might be exaggerating, but it is. I mean, you talk about a weight loss program. Yeah. Anyways, we was pounding pipes in the bank there. We're making a ramp to be able to put our boats in and out of the water right there on the property there in the city of Iquitos, building some docks. Getting them things down, put floats underneath it and get it to where we could use it. And there it is in the water with one of the mission boats on the backside of it there. Here's the three of us coming down after a conference time up in Lurituyaco. No, that was on the Chambita, up on the Chambita church. There's a new church up there in the jungle, Santo Tomas. And it's some ministry time. This is on the Chambita. Chambita. This was an event that was going on once every year for 20, this would have been the 21st year last year. And I've been there every year except for the first. And this year was canceled because of COVID. There was no, they had cables across the river. That's a project that we're working on right now is our ultralights. Rebuilding the engines, getting them ready. We have one is flying. It flies, got over 40 hours on it, and we're looking at putting the floats on it. It's just a little cold out there right now. So water baptism up in San Enrique. That village there, San Enrique, is 350 miles from Iquitos one way. When we first started working up in the Urutuyaco River, we were the first people carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ up there. And I had a brother come down and visit, another missionary guy, and a really good friend. And he asked me, he goes, "Brother John," he goes, "why are you here?" You know, because it took us, 36 hours to 38 hours by river launch to get to the mouth of the river. And then it took us another 12 hours from there to get up into the village. So we went 36 hours by big river launch up the main Marañón, well, first the Amazon, then the Marañón. Then we got off in a village and got on another boat and went another 12 hours in. And he goes, "I understood what you said about the time." He goes, "I just didn't understand what that meant." Because hearing it and doing it are two different things. And he goes, "Why are you here?" There's people in Iquitos that need salvation. There's people in the cities that need, why come this far into the jungle? There's a lot of other villages that are closer. And I had a very good answer. And the answer is because this is where they are that do not know about Christ. And we can go to the same places all the time. But if we want to touch the world, somebody has to go where others do not. If we want to touch the world, somebody has to be willing to step out and say, "God, I'll go. Where do you want me to go? Send me." And be willing to do what it takes to get there. Now, we have some smaller speedboats and we can get way up in the jungle up there. I can do that trip in 15 hours. And I've done it many times. And 350 miles by boat on the water. 15 hours, by the time you get out of the boat, you're ready to get out. You wear earplugs and you still hear that engine. But you know what? These people deserve to know about Jesus. When we first started going into Lurituyaco, there was nobody had ever preached the gospel of Jesus Christ in there. It's a small tributary. It's hard to get to. It's hard to get up in. And once you're up in there, if the water starts dropping, you better be ready to leave because it'll go 6 feet, a couple of meters overnight. And it's not really deep anyhow. So if it drops down a couple meters, you might be stuck for a while. And so we praise God for different modes of transportation that he's given us, like our hovercraft. We run a Griffin hovercraft up in there. And with a hovercraft, if the water goes down, it doesn't make any difference. You can still get out. The only problem I ever had with a hovercraft is I stopped at a village. And when I went to fire it up again, I was hung up underneath. There was a log underneath the water that I didn't see, and it hung up in my skirt. And I had to get off of that. Then I had to fix my skirt because I ripped a chunk out when I got away from it. But that's the only problem we've ever had with it. You get down to where there's no water. I mean, they got these peke peke boats. You guys remember what a peke peke boat is? That's a long wooden boat, and they got like a Briggs & Stratton engine with a shaft coming out the end with a prop on it. And they call it peke peke because when it runs, it goes peke 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 peke. That's why they're called peke peke boats. But they can go over, you know, no water. You go over no, you know, you just push the front of the motor down and the prop comes up out of the water like that. And, you know, they go really, really shallow. But when the peke peke boats are stuck and they're hauling all of the stuff across, and then they got guys pushing and pulling these boats across the shallow spot because the water is only about this deep. And you go by about 20 miles an hour of the hovercraft and wave, that really feels good. Because not too long ago, the person pushing over the shallow spots was me. And when you only got two guys or so, it's really hard to get a boat when you only got about that much water to pull it through there. So because the couple of shallow spots on that river that are really super shallow are up in the middle of no place where there's, you know, rarely can you ever find any help. So we praise God that he's given us the tools to be able to accomplish the work and reach out with the gospel of Christ. Throughout this last year, it's been very challenging. Things have really changed. there was a time there for several months where we could not get anybody into the jungle at all. The government had closed the rivers down, and you know, when they declare martial law, they declare it, and I mean, they don't give you any warning. It's just bam, you wake up. They got military all over the city, armored vehicles blocking the roads, and guys with machine guns everywhere. And to stop the river traffic, they take these huge metal cables and they string them across the river about that high. So you got this huge cable, and in the center they got floats holding the cable. And so basically they say, don't travel. And once our son and his family was still down there, and they decided after working a couple days that they were going to go fishing one night. So they get in the boat and go up to go fishing. Well, they didn't pass the cable, so there was no problem. Well, when they come back, the Coast Guard come and arrested them. And then they had to call. We have friends in high places. Praise God for favors. And nothing happened to them. But they were told in no uncertain terms, you don't go fishing again. You don't leave. You just leave your boat alone. Nobody moves. So it was a little different. And because of that, we were concerned about our brothers up in the jungle because they have very little method of communication. And they're so isolated. I mean, they just shut everything down. You know, how are they getting their supplies? And the city churches, the people in the city were in a very hard way. A lot of the South America lives basically one day at a time, and they don't have a very much of a store, you know, like, or a stockpile, I should say. You know, all of us, if we can't get to the store for a couple of days, we got plenty of stuff in the cupboard. But a lot of them people don't have anything. And because of the heat, most of them don't have refrigeration. They just, you know, don't have a lot of stockpile. So when it hit and they shut everything down, it was very hard for a while. And we praise God for our presence still there, able to hand out food. I mean, they would go by the sacks, by the huge sacks. Tried to get permission from the police to be able to take the vehicles out to buy the stuff and to distribute. And the military would not give us permission or give them permission. I wasn't there. I was here. Would not give them permission to do that. So they had to carry it with a dolly car and a wheelbarrow, go buy the stuff, and then make it into carryable bags where they could distribute. So we praise God for all of them things that happened, you know, to be able to help the community reach out and touch lives. But you know, the reason for all of that is one. And that is to be able to share the love of Christ. Everything that we do is for the purpose to be able to share the love of Christ. Why? Because in the middle of the turmoil, in the middle of the hardship, we have hope. And our hope is in Jesus. We have an everlasting trust that no matter what happens to this body, we are still in God's hands. He still takes care of us. He still loves us. And if we pass, we will see each other again in heaven. And that is an everlasting hope that only Christians can have. In Romans chapter 12, so they finally did open up the rivers, so we were able to get some teams up into the jungle. And praise God, I was very happy to hear that none of the churches in the jungle shut down. Even though there was a government mandate to shut churches down, I mean, who's going to go and control them? Who's going to shut them down? There's nothing up there. So they didn't even know about the mandates until after it was already done. And, yeah, it's a done deal. It's like, I guess that's one good thing about being isolated from the rest of the world. But so they still kept having churches, kept gathering, and God has done some tremendous things up there for them. A lot of people got the COVID because when it hit, people fled before they got the city shut down into the jungle trying to get away from it. And what they did is they just carried it. So it went up through, and it was really bad in some areas. But most of our Christians are fine, and we thank God for that. In Romans chapter 12, let's go verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would open up our hearts, our minds, and our understanding, and that you would speak to us through your word this morning. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Serving God is not an unreasonable thing. Has anybody ever felt like you've done an unreasonable thing? You know, they're making you do it and it's not within reason? I think we've all been there. Man, I felt that way. And I'm reminding myself that serving God is not unreasonable. There's a purpose. There is a plan that He has. What He's asking of us is that we say yes and give our lives to Him. And that we go through it, through the renewing of our minds, being not conformed to the new man, or to the old man, but being conformed, being transformed to the new man. And today, that is the title of what I would like to speak on, is the new me. Because I am not who I used to be. As a creature in Christ, I am a new creation. Being saved, His nature is in me. His love lives through me. So I am not who I used to be. So I would title this The New Man. In Jeremiah chapter 29, Jeremiah chapter 29. Okay. Let's see. Verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. This is God saying, I know what I'm thinking about you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a good end. Towards you, to help you. You know, I'm looking at my wife, and I remember the story that she tells when we first got to the Amazon. You know, she's a dairy line girl, drinks milk, eats beef and potatoes. And that's what I remember, Wisconsin. Fresh milk, meat, and potatoes. Absolutely delicious. Well, we get to the Amazon, and we have things down there that are a little bit different. And we have a juice that we drink that they serve you in the jungle that looks just like milk. It's white. But sometimes it's a little clumpy. sometimes is strained nice and it's not, but it's the masato. You guys remember that? That's the yuca. They mash it, they chew it up, and then they spit it in a bowl, and they let it ferment, and then they serve it to you when you come. And we call it flavor of lips, right? Because everybody's lips has different flavor. And my wife, being raised in Wisconsin, is like, I can't do that. And I'm telling her, you don't have a choice. Because the Bible says, eat and drink whatsoever is set before you. You know, I got all these scripture verses, right? And I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You know, I'm telling her all of this stuff. There's a reason why the Bible says that. The reason why it says eat and drink what's set before you is because when you get into a tribe, we're working with the Uraínas and Cocamas, they're giving you the very best they have. Sometimes when we get there, they make a meal, and if you add it out, that meal is equivalent to 1 week's wages. And they're feeding it to you in one setting. And that is an honor. And they're giving you the very best they have. And to say no, because their culture is so shut, they're so closed into themselves, their own walls, you just close the door to ever be able to witness the gospel to them. Now, once the villages are established and their hearts are open, then, you know, we take people in that are visiting. So if you do come and visit, don't worry. I'm not going to take you someplace where you have to eat or drink. I'll take you places that are well established. If for some reason your palate says no, you can say thank you, but not right now. But at this time, we were just starting, and it's like, you know, I got my wife with me. I'm so excited to show her off. You know, she's a beautiful little gringa girl. And we get up there, and they bring the masato out, and they bring me this great big tazon. You know, this is a gourd thing, a bowl about like that. It has about a liter in it, about a quart. And I get my tazon, and I slide over to Cindy, and I say, hey, baby, you know, just put this up there. You know, just pretend. Just pretend. Don't drink it. Just pretend. And then I'll down it and hand it back. And she goes, I can't. I won't. I can't. And I said, baby, you can just try. You know, I mean, you know, don't make us look bad. You know, I mean, whatever. You know, just and she wouldn't touch it. So I downed it, and the lady come by and brought her a glass of pineapple juice. And I looked at that, and I said, I've never seen that, where everybody in the trip gets one thing, and then one person gets something else, because they serve you what they have. You know, it's not like they just go and get a multiple choice. There's one thing and one thing only. Well, the next village we go to, same thing. They bring the masato around and I slide over. Hey, baby, you know, come on. You know, it's just, hey, don't push your luck. You know, come on, just pretend. Pretend. And I'll down it and nobody's going to know the difference. And she's just, I can't. I can't. So I down it and the lady comes by and I give her back my service thing. And they give her a cup of pineapple juice. Now, right then I realized she's got a higher connection than I do. I mean, this woman's prayers are touching something. And I just slid over and said, hey, baby, you need to start praying for me too. Because whatever you got going, I need to get in on that. I mean, this is some good stuff, because you do it, but it's not like you love it. Okay? Now, according to the Indians in the jungle, I love their masato. And a lot of times I'll take, you know, I'll even take seconds and sometimes a little more if we're just a whole bunch of guys standing around talking and ministering. But you know what? It's not my favorite. By no means. The question is it worth the soul? Is it worth the opportunity to open the door to be able to share the love of Christ? And the third time we were in the village, the same trip, just that third village we was in, we got masato, and my wife said, you know, I think that I can take it now. I think I can handle it. The repulsiveness had went away, and they actually give her a cup of masato. And she was able to sip it, not make a scene, and give it back. And praise God for that. But when I look at this verse and I see that God's thoughts for me are good. They're not evil. He's not punishing us. He's not trying to destroy us. He's trying to do things that are good to us. And I see the miracle that God did for my wife. And I realize the truth of the word when he says that there is nothing that overcome us that will be so big that we cannot bear it. But that he will make a way. And truly, I believe that God did a miraculous work twice and turned her masato into pineapple juice. Because never, ever, ever in the jungle have I ever seen it where one person gets something different than everybody else. Everybody always gets the same. Now, you might not think that. I do. Why? Because I believe in my God. I believe that his thoughts towards me are good. And his desire towards me is good, not evil. His desire towards me is that I can do his work. And no matter what it takes to prepare for that work, if I am willing, he will take me through. As we serve God, we will see. We will see his glory showed. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians 4, 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and in true holiness. God wants us to be changed. That's what I said. I'm not who I was. When I was raised in Mexico, you know, I'm a MK missionary kid, which is just like a PK, preacher's kid. And, you know, I was raised in church. I knew God. I knew of God. And there was a time in my life when I was on a fence. And I was not necessarily living for the devil, but I wasn't living for God either. And at that moment, God put people in my life that were able to help me make the right choices. They were able to help me get on the right path. Why? Because God wants to do a work in us. And he wants us to be changed so that we in turn can help other people so they can be changed. We are the hope. We have the hope of Christ in our lives. When we read the story about the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and you understand that a light put on a hill cannot be hidden, that is our lives. Our lives should show enough Christ through it that it is like a light in the middle of the darkness. Now, I realize that here y'all don't have a lot of what you call real darkness. But has anybody been out where there is absolutely no light, period, and felt the darkness? Where it's just dark, 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 and beautiful, and then you see the stars come out, and it's just so beautiful. In the Amazon, when we're way up in the middle of the jungle, they don't have electricity. Some of them have little generators now. But after a certain time at night, the generator is off so that you don't have the noise and you don't have the lights. So it's dark. And when you're out in the middle of the dark and you turn a light on, man, you can see that light from way away. We're running down the Amazon at night. Got a little tiny flashlight trying to stay away from the logs and the debris. And somebody else is coming up river with a boat and that light is, you know, they got these huge spotlights on the big river launches and just turn that spotlight on, makes it look like daytime. And your little tiny flashlight is just barely bobbing around. But you know what? They can't tell how far away you are. Because that light is so bright in the middle of the darkness, they think that you're real close. And the same with you. You're running down a river at night, they turn that light on. You can't really tell how far away that light is because that light is so bright, it displaces the darkness so strongly that you really can't tell how far away that light is. So you've really got to be careful when you're running to rivers at night and they put these big lights on you because they could be a whole lot closer than you think. Or they could be a lot farther away. You know, our lights The light of Christ in us is supposed to displace so much of the darkness that even the ones when we don't preach at them, they can still see Christ in us. And that is the new me, the new man. Christ in me, changing everything. In verse 23 of Ephesians chapter 4, it says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." And then it tells us to put on the new man. And that's what I would title this message this morning, is putting on the new man. Letting Christ shine through our lives in such a way that the people around us can see Christ in us and see the hope. Because in reality, if you do not have Christ, what hope do you have? You know, this last year has been a very strange year, very difficult, and it's also been a very hard year. In September, my dad got sick with, he had many other things too, but with COVID, and within a couple of days, he passed. And it's December 9th, and that was hard. Founder of our mission, for years, I've been in charge of everything down in Peru. I'm now the president of Cosecha Evangelística en el Amazonas for over 5 years. And that's our mission down there. And, you know, so things have been hard. But in the middle of it all, I see that we have hope through Christ. Where the rest of the world is falling apart. I mean, we don't realize it up here in northern Wisconsin, how nice we really have it. But this last year, we went out to New York State once, we went down into Arkansas, and then we just got back from Montana. The rest of the world is way different than here. I praise God that we are here because we have freedoms. We still have freedoms. When we went into New York State, it was like, man, that was like leaving the country. It's going to a whole new world. Things were just different. People are scared to death. They're just scared of you. My wife offers to open the door to help a lady out of the grocery store. And the lady freaked out at her, like, get away from me. And Cindy's just wanting to open the door for her. It's like, what happened to our world? You know, we have hope. And that hope is in Jesus Christ. That no matter what happens, we still have our hope. So I'd encourage you, please, let the new man shine through you. Let Christ shine through your life. And let His glory be shown through you to give hope to the people around you. Because only in Christ do we have hope. We thank you so much for your support, for your prayers. And, you know, we're hoping to get back this month. We're working on our tickets right now. The border is open right now. So we are working at our tickets to get home. So we covet your prayers. Thank you so much.